हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओम् ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. As we have seen, the 20th mantra, in the middle of the Bhashyam, in the 19th mantra, Upanishad presents the Atma Swarupam. This is Atma Swarupam. Upanishad discusses the essential nature of the reality implied by the term Atma. And even though this reality is of that nature, and where is that reality is available, which is of that Swarupam, available for recognition, that is discussed in the following month, 20th mantra. We are seeing the meaning here, and the Bhashyam we are reading, it will continue with where we left yesterday. नच आत्मा अस्य जन्तोः सह च आत्मा स च आत्मा अस्य जन्तोः ब्रह्मादिस्तम्भपर्यन्तस्य अस्य जन्तोः मीन्स् प्राणिजातस्य गुहाया मीन्स् हृदये निहितः लिट्रल् मीन्स् केप्ट् बट् हियर् आत्मभूतः स्थितः इत्यर्थः. दिस् वाट् वी हेव् टु सी हियर्. सः च आत्मा द च एण्ड् इण्डिकेट्स् दि कण्टिन्यूटि आफ् वाट् यु हेव् बीन् सीयिङ्ग्. So whatever object is there in this world, whether it is small or big, subtle or gross, and every object enjoys the existence only because of that timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless reality. Tenaiva nityena atmana atot sambhavati. Which means, if the Atma is not there, then that any object will lose its status of being existent. The object will become as well as non-existent. That is the reason Atma is said to be the smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. Why? Because Sarva Nama Rupa Vastu Upadhikatvat. Every form, name and object, every object obtaining any given form, indicated by any name, serving any purpose, has the status of being the manifesting media. Therefore, every object is manifestation of the Atma, manifestation of knowledge. There's not a thing called object which enjoys existence independently. This much we have seen already. And cha and sa atma, that atma. Why saha atma? Because the reality when it is looked upon as the truth of the entire universe. Just as we understand the water as the very existence, the truth, the reality, Swarupam. I'm using all these four different words. Water is the truth of the entirety of the ocean. Water is the Swarupam of the entirety of the ocean. Water is the reality of the entirety of the ocean. So water is the existence of the entire ocean. Similarly here, with reference to this entirety of the universe, the swarupam of the universe, the truth of the universe, the reality of the universe, the existence of the universe is implied by the term Atma, because that reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. The reality is implied by the term Atma specifically because of its nature of all pervasiveness. Atma. And here, that Atma, being all pervasive, is available for recognition as the truth of I, as the innermost essence. Essence of every being. The Atma is available for recognition as the innermost essence of every being. And it's available for recognition as the very truth of I only for a human being. It is said, Sahacha, cha, saha Atma, that Atma, which is that absolute reality implied by the term Atma, asya jantoho, of this jantuhu means yad jayate sat jantuhu, that which has life is jantu, a living creature is jantu. Jantu can mean a unicellular organism, amoeba, paramecium, or elephant, or anything to our understanding. But here Shankaracharya says, what of Brahma is tamba paryantasya asya jantoho. Any living creature, any living being is jantu. Beginning from Brahma. Who is Brahma? We don't even understand. We can't understand what Brahma is. Shastram talks about Brahma as the most exalted of the living beings. The Devaha, isn't it? Brahma, the living creature, living being of the most exalted level is what? Brahma. Brahma, the stamba paryantasya. So right from Brahma, the exalt of the living beings, the exalt of the celestial beings, then stamba paryantasya. Stambaha means an ordinary living being which has life but which cannot even move is stamba. That which remains in one place is stamba. So it can include all worms and insects, living beings of all species of all kinds you can take. And you can take even a grass or any plant. Stamba, stamba paryantasya, living creature, right from Brahma up to any living being, even an ordinary grass or a plant, for all this, for every living being, pranijatasya, pranijataha means what? That which is born breathing is pranijatasya. For every living creature, guhayam, so guhayam, in the cave. In the cave of every living being, right from Brahma to stamba, an ordinary plant. So guhayam means what? Hridaye. Hridayam means what? Heart. Again the question comes, how can you say hridaye? No doctor has ever told us about the hridayam. Hridayam is a physical organ which pumps blood, which is involved in the function of circulation, which pumps blood to all over the body. Yes, hridayam here implies the antahkaranam. So only human being has antahkaranam. Other living beings do not have antahkaranam. Very, very immature antahkaranam the others have. So hridaye means in the physical heart of human beings and in the antahkaranam of the human beings. Nihitaha means it is located as it were. What does it mean? Hridaye nihitaha means guhayam hridaye nihitaha. It is placed in the heart, in the cave of every living being, every living creature. Means atmabhutaha sthitaha ityartaha. The meaning is, this Atma remains as the self of all the living beings. The reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, is there as the self of all the beings, as the essential nature of all the living beings. It is essential nature of all the living creatures. Every living creature can be reduced to one and the only essential reality. That is the consciousness existence, which is implied by the term Atma. Yes, every individual can be reduced to essentially one abstract, formless, subtlest reality, the consciousness existence implied by the term Atma. But even though this reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is implied by the term Atma, is essential nature of all the living beings, it is available for recognition only for a human being. All the living beings are not capable of discovering it. Reality is there as essential nature of all the living creatures. And so does not mean reality is not there in non-living things. Reality is there in non-living things also, because only reality of the whole jagat, it's all pervasive. There's no place reality is not. There's no time reality is not. There's no object which is not pervaded by the Atma. So, chetana chetana samagrasya prapanchasya atmarupena asti. It is there as the truth of everything. But the thing is, in non-living things, it's all pervasive reality. Though it is there pervading in and through, it is not available for recognition. Whereas in living beings, the reality is available for recognition. And only for a human being is available for recognition as the very truth of I. So the human being alone is capable of discovering this Atma, obtaining as one's own essential nature. This much I have to supply, add in this context. Is it clear? Now, here I have to explain, why is it not available? If Atma is all pervasive, all pervasive, all pervasive, the very word Atma implies what? All pervasiveness. That means reality must be there pervading the non-living things also. But why do we say only Jantoho? What about Ajantoho? What about Achetanasya? What about the non-living things? It is not available for recognition. Even though it is not, it's not available for recognition, it should not be mistaken for non-existent there in non-living things. Why it is not available for recognition in non-living things? Because there is no sukshma shariram. Only stholam is there. And why sukshma is important? Only if the stholam, the gross material form, gross physical form, gross material physical form, has indwelling the subtle body, and subtle body, which is the product of tamasic, rajasic aspects of subtle elements, then that matter alone is capable of manifesting consciousness. So wherever there is manifestation of consciousness, there consciousness, the Atma, is available for recognition. So in living beings, Atma is available for recognition. In non-living things, Atma is not available for recognition. There's only difference. So non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence in non-living things. And living beings also, how is it available? We discussed it many times. What Acharya says, I'm elaborating it a little bit. It's available for recognition as the innermost essence of, as the very self of all the living beings means. What is a self? The dog or a cat or elephant or a monkey or frog or worm, anything, if the material as form, material, the gross matter forms its form, physical form. That form is removed. Minus that physical form, what is that? Because of the presence of which the life of the physical body is possible. The physical form is possible. That is the manifestation of consciousness. It is not mere existence of consciousness. Mere existence of consciousness does not give life. Without the consciousness, life is impossible. Okay, what lends life is, it is the manifest, without the consciousness, without the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge is not possible. Without the manifestation, isn't it, the matter cannot have life. The life is not possible. So, in living beings, we understand, we see the life. So, wherever the life is, and the life presuppose, life implies many functions happening, and the functions are the proof that every function happens because there is an order involved in the function. That order is the proof that it is backed by knowledge. That knowledge, which we do not see through physical eyes, is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. It is not only we think of about the, with reference to, with regard to the other living creatures, even with reference, with regard to our own physical body also, we can say all our organs, internal organs function, all the functions are possible because of the manifestation of knowledge. Because whether the involuntary functions are possible, the heart functions, lungs function, kidneys function, who teach them how to function the way they function? There is already knowledge, inbuilt knowledge, innate knowledge. That knowledge we don't see through physical eyes. That knowledge is there, backing this certain order involved in every function. That order is there because functions are happening. That is how life is possible, isn't it? Therefore, the pranijatasya means in every living being, the life itself is possible because of the physiological functions. Even though in plant and all, physiological functions are very, very limited, still the physiological functions are happening even in every living being. Those functions are involuntary functions. And those functions are possible because the order is involved in those functions. The order is backed by the knowledge. That knowledge is what? We don't see knowledge through physical eyes, but we can understand knowledge being manifest in all the living beings. That knowledge is Ishvara. So everything can be reduced to, the matter can be reduced to the abstract formless reality, the consciousness existence. Satchidatma. Okay? This is what is explained here. So right from all the living beings, right from Brahmaji, up to the tiniest any living creature, or even the immobile living creature, plant, we can say the Atma is there as the innermost essence. Okay. Next sentence I'm reading now. Tamatmanam darshana shravana manana vijnana lingam. Darshana Shravana Manana Vijnana Lingam Akratuhu Akamaha Drishta Adrishta Bahya Vishaya Uparata Buddhihi Ityattaha. Okay. Now, who is the person who discovers that Atma? It is said here, Akratuhu. Akratuhu is the word we find in the mantra. Shankara Bhagavatpada writes the meaning here, akamaha. Kamaha yasya na santi saha akamaha. The one who is free from desires is akamaha. He is akratuhu. As I explained to you already, akratuhu implies the desireless person is akamaha. Therefore, who need not involve himself in the kamya karmas. He is akratuhu. Okay, the person who is free from the hold of desires, thereby who need not involve himself in kamya karmas, is akratuhu. So akamaha. And what, who is akamaha? Very beautifully Shankaracharya says, akamaha is means dispassionate person. How do we know dispassionate person? Drishta adrishta bahya vishaya uparata buddhihi இத்தியர்த்தக. அகாமா இத்தியுக்தே கஹ அர்த்தக? அகாமா இத்தியுக்தே திருஷ்ட அதிருஷ்ட பாஹ்ய விஷய உபரத புத்தி இத்தியர்த்தக. ஹியர் இஸ் அ பியூட்டிஃபுல் காம்பவுண்ட். உபரத புத்தி, உபரத மீன்ஸ் வித்ட்ரான், டேக்கன் அவே. உபரத மீன்ஸ் வித்ட்ரான், டேக்கன் அவே. ஓகே, what has been taken away? Buddhihi, the attention of the mind. So yasya buddhihi uparata, the person whose buddhi, whose attention has been, the word buddhihi here is attention. Yasya buddhihi uparata, the person whose attention has been withdrawn from objects, vishayebhyaha uparata buddhihi yasya. சக விஷய உபரத புத்திஹி. விஷயேப்யஹ மீன்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். த ஒன் ஹூஸ் அட்டென்ஷன் ஹாஸ் பீன் ட்ரான், டேக்கன் அவே ஃப்ரம் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். ஓகே, திருஷ்ட அதிருஷ்ட, தி நோன் அண்ட் அன்னோன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். ஆல்சோ திருஷ்ட அதிருஷ்ட பாஹ்ய, பாஹ்ய மீன்ஸ் எக்ஸ்டர்னல் ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ். External objects. External objects means what? Known and unknown. Known and unknown means what? The known, the drishta means the perceptible objects available for enjoyment in this world. Adrishta means the objects of enjoyment which are not available for knowledge in this world, which is which are unknown objects. Like such as now watching dance of Apsaras dance, listen to Gandharva singing, they are celestials. We don't know, isn't it? Objects of enjoyment available in higher lokas, higher worlds. They're all meant by one word, adrishta. Understand? So, drishta means seen, known, perceptible in this world. Adrishta, unknown, which are available for enjoyment only in higher lokas. All the objects of enjoyment. All of them are external objects, isn't it? So, drishta adrishta bahya vishayebhyaha, drishtebhyaha adrishtebhyaha bahyebhyaha vishayebhyaha uparata buddhihi yasya. Saha drishta adrishta bahya vishaya uparata buddhihi. The person whose buddhi, whose attention has been totally withdrawn from all forms of external objects of enjoyment available for enjoyment in this world and also in higher lokas. See, we are all not interested in heaven because we have no idea. See, people who had very good knowledge of Veda Shastram, repeatedly learned studying the Veda Karma Kanda, they are repeatedly told, if you do this, yajna, you'll go to heaven, you can see this, you can live long like this, you can have Brahmaji status. But repeatedly told, and they must be interested. You know, Pujya Swamiji used to say, we don't have very efficient tourism promoters. So, we are not interested. How people, how do people book their cruise? We have Shalini Amma here. She's been telling me, every time she's telling me, you must come to Kailasha. Okay? And she says, so always comes and tells me, that the people who are always promoting, okay, about this cruise, and people book, August booking, next booking, this booking, going to this place, going to, repeatedly advertisements keep on coming, and we somehow we get tempted, and we have budget also feels fits, no? Then it fits within our budget, people book and go. How do people go? Like that, we don't have very efficient, highly influential tourism promoters in our times, so we are not aspiring for going to heaven. But in those days, there must have been the people who had very good knowledge of higher lokas, they must have been aspiring for heaven, etc. also. But Shankaracharya writes, even this person, highly intelligent, Jignasu Bhaktaha, okay, who is very clear about his Purusharta, who has Purusharta Nischeha, who is committed to the pursuit of Jnanam only, who has grown out of desire for any enjoyment of any object in any part of the world, such a highly dispassionate person. So, akratuhu means akamaha. Akamaha is an ordinary person. Highly dispassionate, mature person. okay, highly mature person. Why? He has this viveka. He must have had this viveka. The akamaha implies this person being a person of discriminative understanding, because he knows whether the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures is time, it is time bound. The enjoyment of any pleasure, any object in this world also is time bound in nature. So, but he knows that his interest is only in everlasting, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, timeless sukham. Nitya nirantara sukham only he is interested in. Therefore, he is not interested. Isn't it? So the person who is aspiring for timeless happiness, everlasting happiness, naturally will be disinterested, dispassionate. Therefore, the person who has withdrawn his attention totally from all the external objects known in this, known, enjoyable in this world, which are not, which are unknown, because which can be enjoyed only in heaven. Such a person, he alone discover, is capable of discovering the Atma. Because, why? Because if a person withdraws attention from all of them, all the objects, means he becomes dispassionate towards all the objects, means he can have very tranquilized, quietened, calm organs. The mind will not be disturbed. Mind will not be distracted. If the dispassion is not, it is the passion, it is the desires which really disturb the mind. The dispassion, the more the person discovers dispassion, the stronger is his viveka, the more dispassion the person discovers, dispassionate the person becomes, I tell you, he'll be free from the hold of other emotions also. Relatively, he will be free from the hold of anger, jealousy, hatred, all other emotions also, he'll be able to manage if he's free from the hold of desires, the passion. Therefore, this person will have what? Quiet mind, calm mind. He's not absolutely calm-minded person, but relatively serene-minded. Thereby, even his sense organs also cannot really, disturb him. Whatever they see, perceive, even they report also, they also remain, disciplined. Such a person, he says, he sees the Atma. He discovers the Atma. Here, Atmanam, Kidrusham Atmanam, it is said here, Darshana, Shravana, Manana, Vijnana, Lingam, Atmanam. So here, Linga means the clue. The clue here is linga. Linga means the clue. Here the clue of discovering that Atma. What is the clue? How is it possible for this person? He has the clue of discovering that Atma, arriving at that Atma. Darshana. First of all, darshana means the discovering, recognizing that Atma. And for recognizing, for darshanam of that Atma, for recognizing, for discovering that Atma, for stumbling upon that Atma, not as an object, but as one's own sarupam, the person must be given to the discipline of shravanam. Shravanam. You all know very well what is shravanam. I don't need to explain again, okay? He must be given to the discipline of listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the shastram systematically, regularly, consistently for length of time from a competent teacher. Then, when his shravanam helps him resolve his ajnanam, ajnana nivritti shravanena ajnana nivritti yada bhavati. When resolution of ignorance happens through shravanam, then still his jnanam will be samshaya purna jnanam, and he must also be given to next discipline of mananam. Mananam means when he repeatedly dwells upon the same teaching, reflects upon that same teaching, whatever doubts he has, the doubts possibly created by the people of other schools of thought, okay, all the doubts also can be resolved. And thereby, by going through the disciplines of Shravanam and Mananam, this person will have what? Doubt-free, clear understanding. Then he will, by constantly, Vijnanam here means Nidhyasanam. Vijnanam means Nidhyasanam. So by constantly dwelling upon the clear, doubt-free understanding of is the Swarupam, being Atma, the consciousness, existence, this person in due course of time ascertains the vision of this Atma. Ascertains means even whatever the habit caused errors, and because of the age-old samskara the person has, because of the age-old samskaras, whatever habit-caused errors the person has, those habitual errors also will be resolved as a result of Nidhyasanam. This is how the person discovers the Atma, which involves the clue of discovering through the disciplines of Shravana Mananam and Nidhyasanam. That Atma, this person discovers. This one meaning, how does this person discover the Atma being there in other living creatures? That's also we have to understand. This person discovers the Atma obtaining as one's own self, but he also discovers the Atma being available for recognition all the living beings, because he sees the clue for discovering the Atma being Atma obtaining in all the living beings is what? All the living beings are capable of perceiving, and they're also all the functions are possible. Even a human being, if we take, the seeing is perceived, the function of perception is possible, the function of mentation is possible, thinking is possible, knowing is possible. Therefore, darshana, shravana, manana, vijnanam, if we take, darshanam means perception, perceiving, shravanam, hearing, etc. Then the mananam, thinking, and vijnanam, knowing. All these are possible only because of the manifestation of that reality. And such reality, this person, akratuhu, akamaha, drishta, adrishta, bahya, vishaya, uparata, buddhihi, no, this person arrives at that Atma. Okay, darshana, shravana, mana, vijnana, lingam, atmanam. Darshana, shravana, mana, vijnanam, vijnanani, lingani, yasya, atmanaha. Saha Atma, Darshana, Shravana, Mana, Vijnana, Lingaha, Atma. Tam, Darshana, Shravana, Mana, Vijnana, Lingam, Atmanam. Is it clear? Do you make it very clear? Darshana, Shravana, Manana, Vijnana, Lingaha, Atma. What does it mean? It's a compound. Darshanam, the Darshane, Yasya, Atmanaha, Darshane, Shravanam, Mananam, Vijnanam, or Darshana, Mana Vijnanani. Yasya Atmanaha Darshane, Shravana, Manana Vijnanani, Lingani. Saha Atma, Darshana, Shravana, Manana Vijnana, Lingaha Atma. The Atma, which involves the clue of discovering, which involves the clue of recognizing in terms of Shravanam, Mananam, these are the clues. Clues mean what? Means. Clue here means the means also. What is the clue? What is the means of discovering the Atma, recognizing the Atma? The means of discovering Atma is what? Going through the discipline of Jnana Yoga involving the three steps. Therefore, this Atma is said to be, Atma is here, Atma has this given way of recognizing it. That Atma is said to be Darshana, Shravana, Manana, Vijnana, Lingaha, Atma. This is the only way of arriving at the Atma. So the Atma which has this only way of arriving at it, discovering it, recognizing it, is said to be Darshana, Shravana, Manana, Vijnana, Lingaha, Atma. The Atmanam, this Akratuhu, Akamaha, this person, dispassionate person, because of his dispassion towards everything else in the world, when he said he is dispassionate towards all the objects of enjoyment in the world, means he is dispassionate towards all the Arthakamas. And his passion is only for Jnanam. When a person's passion is only for Jnanam, it is very easy. Mind is not distracted. The person who is totally passionate towards Jnanam will definitely have all grace of Bhagavan, and he'll be able to discover the truth. That's the meaning. Okay. Yadacha evam yadacha evam tada mana adini karanani dhatavaha. So the word dhatavaha, which we've seen the mantra dhatavaha, he says mana adini karanani dhatavaha. Okay, here why do we say these mana adini karanani? Karanani, all instruments such as mind, etc. Mana adini karanani are meant by this word dhatavaha. Any karanam is called dhatuhu. Dhatuhu literally means root. Root of a plant is dhatu. Root of a word is dhatu. Dhatuhu also means the substance. But here, dhatuhu means karanam. Why? A karanam, any instrument is called dhatuhu. All the instruments such as mind, etc. are said to be dhatavaha. Because Shankaracharya gives the reason here. Sharirasya dharanat. So, Sharirasya dharanat prasidanti iti. Sharirasya dharanat prasidanti. Sharirasya dharanat prasidanti iti. Esham dhatunam prasadat. Okay. See, all these subtle instruments of knowledge and instruments of actions, jnana indriyani, karma indriyani, all these instruments. And of course, antahkaranam, the internal instrument of knowledge. Antahkaranam, the internal instrument of knowledge, and pancha jnana indriyani, instruments of perception or knowledge, and instruments of action. All these 11 must be functional. Only then what now? Pranas also will be alive in the body. Is it? Then, only then the physical body will have life. So, sharirasya dharanat. It is the function existence of subtle body, and the as long as Sukshariram exists in the physical body enjoys life. So, Shariram Dharayanti iti Dhatavaha. And Shariram Dharayanti. Dharayanti means sustain. They lend life to the physical body. Dharayanti means sustain. Sustained life of the physical body. See, that's why when death happens, who departs? Atma cannot live. We all know very well the reality, the consciousness existence cannot leave. Okay? Atma never leaves. All pervasive Atma is always there. dead body is very much pervaded by consciousness like any other wall or window or door. Okay. Consciousness, Atma is very much there. What leaves is this manifesting media. Manifesting medium, then the entire sukshma shariram, specifically the antahkaranam with all the subtle powers and pranas. Sukshma shariram leaves when the paradha karma gets exhausted, and then very second, whether the person is sick or old or young or healthy or whatever it is, the sukshma shariram leaves the physical body over which we have no say at all. No doctor, however highly qualified he is, he cannot prevent the departure of the sukshma from this thulam. What is death? Departure of the sukshma shariram, especially the mind, from the physical body is said to be the death of the physical body. And body becomes dead, lifeless. What makes the body lifeful? It is the presence, existence of the sukshma shariram in the mind, in the physical body. Then there's the difference between dead body and the live body. The sukshma lives, life goes. Which means the sukshma shariram serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. This is sukshma shariram becoming conscious and sentient and becoming functional, remaining there lends life, consciousness, sentiency to the physical body also. Is it clear? Then we used to tell before, without all subtle sense powers and powers of organs of actions, physical body is like what? Every golakam is like a, you know, office room without the officer. Isn't it? So the physical, just the physical body, pancha bhautikaha dehaha, meant for cremation. Shirimahabhavatva shairamityuchyate, dahyamanatvat deha ityuchyate, it only has to be sent only for cremation. Isn't it? Therefore, here, what that which sustains? Sharirasya dharanat dhatavaha. Due to their sustaining of the body, the sense organs such as all the instruments such as mind, etc., are said to be dhatavaha. Clear? Okay. Now, these karanani, these dhatavaha, prasidanti. Prasidanti means what? They become agitation free, restlessness free. They become tranquil. They become serene. They become calm and quiet. That prasadaha, prasadaha noun, prasidanti verb. That prasadaha, they're becoming the quietness, the calmness of all the sense organs. You know, if a person is very restless mentally, I tell you, physically a person cannot sit. He'll be very, one person cannot sit and listen to other person even for 5 minutes. He'll want Shastra class. One cannot focus on anything he is listening to. And eyes, you can see the restless person's eyes will be very restless. And they'll be moving their hands and legs. You know, they're sitting also, they'll move their legs. They move their hands. And then they start scribbling on the phone pad and all. It's all, even so we are talking to somebody on the phone. But without the knowledge, mechanically, sometimes we scribble on the phone, the pads. It's all expression of one's restlessness. Okay, not having any discipline, indiscipline. I mean, it's all mental restlessness, mental agitation reflects in one's behavior, even in the sense organs, the physical body, etc. Therefore, it is said, all this dhatavaha karanani prasidanti, they remain calm and quiet. Why? Because this person is dispassionate. Why person is dispassionate? He is not at all aspiring for any of these things. It is the desire for external objects of enjoyment or enjoyment of pleasures which makes the person restless. This person has not given up the desires, he has not suppressed the desires, has grown out of desires because of his maturity. How we all have grown out of desire for balloons and toys. So this person also has grown out of desire for everything in the world. Therefore, when he becomes dispassionate, prasidanti, karanani prasidanti, dhatavaha prasidanti, iti, etesham dhatunam prasadat, because of their discipline, dhatunam prasadat, due to the calmness of the sense organs, the organs of actions, due to the calmness of the antahkaranam, because of the relative tranquility of all these karanani, means because of his having relative mastery over his mind and sense organs, because of his shamaha and damaha. Understand? Dhatunam prasadat. See, hetvarte panchami. Dhatunam prasadat. Due to the tranquility of this, all these organs means what? Due to the calmness of all these objects means they're all disciplined. Due to their being disciplined. Due to the relative mastery a person has over them, he becomes eligible. And it is possible for him to have distraction-free focus on one's own sarupam. It is possible for him to have the contemplative mental disposition. He is able to continuously place his attention upon one's own sarupam which he has understood. Thereby, atmanaha mahimanam. Atmanaha mahimanam pashyati. He sees the glory of the Atma means what? He discovers his own swarupam. He discovers the self. He sees the self means what? He arrives at the self. He arrives at the self. He sees the self means he takes ownership of this abstract reality as one's own self. For him, the body is not the meaning of the word anymore. Mind is not the meaning of the word I anymore. For him, the any of the body, mind, sense complex is not the meaning of the word I anymore. For him, the meaning of the word I is the pure, subtlest, inexplicably subtlest consciousness. It's the meaning of the word. The Pashyati means he claims ownership of consciousness as the Atma. Why? Because karma nimitta vriddhi kshaya rahitam mahimanam. Here, what is the mahima? The fullness, discovering the fullness being his own sarupam. The fullness which has been searching for, the happiness which has been searching for, is not an object, is his own sarupam. It's very nature. So discovering the Atma is discovering one's own self being fullness, happiness. It is like if you understand who Surya Bhagavan is, you understand simultaneously Surya Bhagavan is of the nature of illumining. If you know what fire is, you know the heat being the intrinsic property of the fire. You don't need to know heat first separately and the heats later on. If you understand fire means, you understand heat also. So, seeing one's own self, atmanam pashyati, means that when a person discovers his own sarupam, his own self, he discovers the glory of the Atma. What is the glory of the Atma? Fullness, happiness, limitlessness, being sarupam of the Atma is the glory of the Atma. This person discovers Atma, simultaneously he discovers the sarupam of the Atma being fullness. happiness. And is that fullness is what known? Vriddhi kshaya rahitam. Vriddhihi means increase. Kshaya means decrease, isn't it? Vriddhi kshaya rahitam. See, any pleasure enjoyable as a result of an action is what now is subject to arrival and departure. It can be more or less. So vriddhi kshaya rahitam. See, the fullness, the happiness, the swarupa of the Atma cannot be increased. What is the mahima? Atmanaha mahimanam pashyati means this person sees the glory of one's own self being, one's own self, means the person discovers one's own swarupam being fullness. So, full or happiness. The happiness, swarupa of the Atma, cannot be increased, cannot be decreased. Vriddhi kshaya rahitam mahimanam pashyati. This person discovers happiness which cannot be increased, which cannot be decreased, being the swarupam. So mahimanam pashyati means purnatvam pashyati. He sees the fullness being his own swarupam. He sees limitlessness, happiness being his own swarupam. So happiness is that which cannot be increased, that which cannot be decreased also. It can be improved. Isn't it? See, you cannot increase the heat of the fire. You can reduce the heat of the fire. Why? The heat is the swarup of the fire. In our houses, in winter, we completely turn it off, our heating. And in spring, we reduce. In peak winter, we increase. What? Our heating, you know? We increase in houses. that is possible. But heat of the fire, the heating, now the increase and decrease, isn't it? Whereas the heat of the fire cannot be increased or decreased. That is very swarupam. Similarly here, happiness, fullness, swarupam of the Atma, swarupam of the reality cannot be increased, cannot be improved, cannot be decreased. Means fullness is swarupam. This person simultaneously, he discovers when he stumbles upon the reality, the abstract reality which is of nature of consciousness, and when constantly dwelling upon that reality, he discovers what? The fullness, happiness being the swarupam of the Atma. Discovering swarupam of the Atma simultaneously is what? Discovering, the seeing the glory of the Atma. Mahima, greatness of the Atma. Is it clear? Mahimanam pashyati vriddhikshaya rahitam. So karma nimitta vriddhikshaya rahitam. See, the increasing of something, decrease of something is possible only if it's a pleasure earned as a result of an action. Karma nimittam. Any pleasure, any degree of pleasure enjoyable, attainable as a result of an action is what it is. It can be increased, can be decreased also. Yes, time-bound pleasure can be increased or decreased. Whereas the happiness is not something which can be increased or decreased, which is the very swarupam of the Atma. Karma nimitta vriddhi kshaya rahitam mahimanam pashyati. Katham pashyati? Ayam aham asmi iti sakshat vijanati. So pashyati ityukte kaha artaha? Pashyati sees. Atmanam Pashyati means he does not see the Atma through physical eyes. As, okay, here, I am Ahamasmi iti Sakshat Vijanati. This person knows that this Atma, okay, this absolute, abstract, formless, real, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, existence, is implied by the term Atma, is what? The nearest self, Ahamasmi. Aham, I am Ahamasmi means what? Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the self, am that reality, which is available as the nearest self. I, the knower, am this reality consciousness. This Atma. Why reality is the nearest self? I am asti, asmi. I am this nearest self is myself. Iti sakshat vijanati. The sakshat is very important. Sakshat vijanati means for this person, vajnani, this abstract reality, Atma, consciousness, is not an object of direct object of knowledge. In that object of knowledge, it is the very sarupma of the knower I, which means he takes ownership of his consciousness as the very content of I. So here the sakshat, the word sakshat implies Atma Jnanam is not Pratyaksha Jnanam. Atma Jnanam is not Paroksha Jnanam. Atma Jnanam is Aparoksha Jnanam. He takes Atma as one's own Swarupam. Understand? It is Sakshat. Vijanati. Sakshat is very important. Ahamasmi. Which means for him, the word I does not refer to any object at all. See, the jnani, in Atma Jnanam, what is more important is taking ownership of the abstract consciousness as the Atma is very important. What is much more important is discovering the fact that I does not refer to any of the objects, including one's, especially the body, mind, and complex. The person should see very clearly the word I, the first person singular pronoun I, which we all always use to refer to ourselves, that I definitely does not indicate, denote, refer to mind, sense organs, physiological functions, or the physical body. I refers to the very abstract, formless reality, which a person has to arrive at only in terms of its nature of knowing. Chidrupena eva atma avagantavyaha. And that he arrives at as rupa of the knower subject only. He arrives at the reality as the knower. Then from the standpoint of the reality, he understands this abstract reality consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. Neither the knower nor the known. Distinct from the knower, known, knowledge, triputi bhedaha, isn't it? Consciousness is not the knower. The abstract reality is not the knower, subject of knowledge. It is not the instrument of knowledge. It is not even the manifest knowledge. It is not even the object of knowledge. Then what is it? The abstract formless reality is the swarupam. The truth without which there cannot be knower, without which there cannot be manifestation of knowledge. The source of knowledge is consciousness, reality. Reality is the source of the manifestation of knowledge, which is distinct from the manifest knowledge also. Jnatru jnana jnaya triputi bheda rahitaha atma. Isn't it? It is not the object of knowledge. It is not the instrument of knowledge. It is not the knowledge of an object. It is not the knowledge of an object. It is not the object of knowledge also. What is it? Very swarupam of the everything. Without which there cannot be the source of knowledge. Reality, the source of knowledge. So the nature of knowing is distinct from the knower, distinct from the known, distinct from the knowledge of the object, distinct from the instrument of knowledge also. Understand? Everything is Atma. And that Atma, Ahamasmi, iti janati. That is how, what happens now? Perspective change happens. The error in the perception of the self becomes corrected in the clear, ascertained, doubt-free vision of one's own self being Atma. And when he sees himself from the standpoint of the Atma, placing the I in consciousness cognitively, intellectually, cognitively, placing the I sense in consciousness, when the person sees, then he is absolutely free from all the karmas, free from all the wrong notions, free from kartrutvam, free from bhoktrutvam, free from all the blemishes, all the sins, all the limitations. Therefore, he becomes what? Vita shokaha bhavati. The grief caused by erroneous perception, then it resolves. The error becomes corrected. Error in the perception becomes corrected. Perspective change happens. Then error caused grief also resolves. Why? Ajnanena mohaha, mohena, isn't it? Ragaha, ragena, shokaha. Attachment goes, dependence goes. Delusion resolves, dependence goes. In clarity of vision, then there is a shokaha also becomes resolved. Grief also becomes resolved. This is how person becomes free from sorrow for good. Vita shokaha bhavati. Okay. Now mantra number 21. In the previous mantra, this akamaha is important word. A person who is, it is not enough if you simply aspire for jnanam. The aspiration for knowledge, the commitment, the pursuit of knowledge should be supported by what? The person's dispassion towards everything else. If a person knows the value of jnanam, it is the jnanam which alone will free me from bondage of samsara. It will liberate me from all forms of human miseries. So I am interested in everlasting happiness. If a person discovers the value of knowledge, then a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam. Then what happens? Naturally, he'll grow out of desire for the time-bound things. The dispassion born of viveka. Vairagya, the vivekena jatam vairagyam. So viveka vairagyam. Viveka, discriminative understanding of the limitations, understanding of the impermanence and the permanence. All things. The person has viveka, naturally he will have vairagyam also. Without viveka, vairagyam is not at all possible. Why people are still interested in time-bound things? Still, they have not really understood what I'm really searching for. The purusharta nischa has to be very, very clear. What I'm searching for is happiness. Everlasting peace. Through all the pursuits, what I'm searching for is, through artha, kama, dharma, through all of them, what I'm searching for is this everlasting happiness only. Otherwise said to be mokshaha, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from limitations. That freedom, that limitlessness, that happiness, everlasting peace is only in what? In discovering the self. Because in discovering the self, the swarupam happiness also becomes discovered. Simultaneous. Jnanam and moksha are identical. Therefore, it is jnanam, jnana deva kaivalyam. It is knowledge of the truth Obtaining as my own essential nature is the only means of discovering, claiming, take ownership of happiness, being my own Swarupam. This Purushartha Nischaya is there. A person knows the value of jnanam. Person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam. He will naturally, knowing the limitations of everything in the world, a person will grow out of desire for things in life. It's just the understanding of limitations, what they cannot do at all for me. Isn't it? You can know, without undermining, underestimating Arthakama Dharmas, not overvaluing Arthakama Dharmas, with the due value to them, a person pursue Arthakama Dharmas means he is not bound. He is dispassionate towards them. If you are not dependent on Arthakama Dharma for your happiness and security, then you are dispassionate towards them. If you're mistaking them to be source of happiness, you're dependent on them for security and happiness, then you are attached to them. So this person who knows the limitations of Arthakama Dharmas, that they are not sources of happiness. So whatever I pursue in my life for my relative security is not source of happiness, not source of security at all. I'm very clear. If I'm not dependent on them for my happiness and security, then I'm detached to them, detached towards them. Such a person, if he becomes dispassionate because of his vairagyam, then he alone is eligible. He alone can have the prasada, prasadita indriyani. See, it's very important for us to have the disciplined mind and sense organs. Disciplined mind and sense organs are the instruments of mature minded person. Without this relative maturity, without being relatively disciplined, it is impossible to become absolutely disciplined, absolutely mature. Jnani is an absolutely mature person. Absolutely disciplined person. Because jnani cannot become more disciplined. Jnani cannot become more mature. Jnani is the most mature person. The most mature is the wise person, jnani. So it is the jnanam, it is the wisdom which makes a person the most mature. And for us to become the most mature, you must become relatively mature. To become absolutely mature, absolutely disciplined, we must become relatively mature and disciplined. For which, if you have Viveka Vairagyam, if you have the discriminative understanding of what is ephemeral and what is eternal, thereby if you have become passionate towards everything ephemeral, and your passion is only for the eternal, then you have Vairagyam also. Dispassion also, isn't it? It implies the maturity of a person. Where he says that being endowed with the such qualification, having Viveka Vairagyam is very important. Only then a person can be relatively disciplined, relatively mature. Thereby, he will be eligible to have the ascertained vision of this abstract reality. It is not easy joke, okay? If we endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, still to be objective towards one's own body, mind, sense complex, to see always essentially aham brahmasmi is not an easy joke. You have to be interacting in the world, in this world of duality, with a clear vision of non-duality of the reality. That way you can be objective. So the objectivity is freedom. That takes great deal of maturity. Therefore, the qualification is important for jnanam. There is emphasis in this verse again. Let us see here. We already seen that now. Why one must take care of one's emotional maturity? Why one should take care of one's relative maturity? Why one should be conscious of having the disciplined mind and sense organs? Because the knowledge which we are aspiring for is the knowledge of the abstract subtlest reality. And because there's no distance between the Atma and the Anatma. There's no physical distance, there's no time distance. Atma being all pervasive in and through, it's the reality is pervasive of the entire the material world of objects, especially one's own body, mind and complex. So every individual human being is a composite of both Atma and Anatma, the abstract consciousness and the subtle and gross matter. Therefore, here, which is I? In the relative world, we do have to relate, interact in the world. We do have to refer to the entire body, mind and complex using this first person singular pronoun I. But absolutely, the I does not refer to the matter at all. I refers to the abstract consciousness. And you can't physically distance consciousness and matter. There's no distance at all between consciousness and the mind, consciousness, the body, consciousness and anything in the world, every cell. Because of this inseparability, closest proximity, it is very difficult to distinguish cognitively and claim only that abstract consciousness as the self, as the truth of the I. That is why one's mind, which has been used to arrive at this truth, must be stable and also sharp. Intellectual sharpness, emotional stability must be there. For which is being disciplined is very important. So he says, so Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following mantra. What does he say? Anyatha durvigneyaha durvigneyamatma durvignoyamatma durvigneyaha ayam atma. Let us break the sentence now. Anyatha. Anyatha means otherwise. Otherwise means, what does it mean? Unless a person becomes akratuhu akamaha drishta adrishta vishayebhyaha, isn't it? Uparata buddhihi otherwise, unless he becomes uparata buddhihi. Unless the person becomes dispassionate. Unless the person becomes discriminative understanding, unless the person becomes dispassionate towards Arthakama dharmas, otherwise, ayamatma durvigneyaha means what? Gneyaha can be known. Vigneyaha can be known. Durvigneyaha is very difficult to know. Cannot be known easily. Durvigneyaha cannot be known easily. Cannot be known easily at all. Ayam atma durvigneyaha. This atma cannot be known at all easily by whom? Kamibhihi. It's a passive voice sentence. Potential passive participle. Isn't durvigneyaha? Atma is durvigneyaha. Atma cannot be comprehended, arrived at, recognized, known at all easily by people who have deceits. Kamibhihi. See, it doesn't mean people who have deceits means what? Shastram does not say you should not have deceits at all. Please understand. People who are still, people who are highly passionate towards time-bound things. You can't have strong desires for simple pleasures of life, and still you cannot focus on something which is absolute. So kami bihi means people who are driven by desires, who are still highly passionate. Here kami means the person who is not able to withdraw his attention from the objects of enjoyment, who still is interested in objects of enjoyment. is a kami who still dependent on the enjoyment of objects for his security, happiness and his security. The person who is not adequately dispassionate, mature minded, that's the meaning. Kami bihi. So Shankaracharya himself says what? Shankaracharya himself says prakrita purushaihi. So prakrita purushaihi means people who are still unrefined minded. Unrefined mind means people who are not yet adequately mature. We should not think of people, stone age people. Okay. Samskrita purushaha means what? Samskritam, samskritani manamsi yesham. Samskrita manasa purushaha, isn't it? So people of the refined minded. So people of unrefined minded means what? Prakrita purushaha means people who are still immature. Immature means what? People who are still interested in the enjoyment of time-bound pleasures, simple objects, arthakamas, who are still dependent on the enjoyment of pleasures, time-bound pleasures, so interested in accumulating arthakamas, their prakrita purushaha. So prakrita purushaihi kamibihi, by such people, this atma cannot be known at all easily. Yes, smart. Why? Because the atma is very, very subtle. Now he says, see, if you are passionate towards other things, attention will be always distracted and disturbed by those other things. Attention will not be available here. That's a simple thing. Your attention will not be available for Shravanam, will not be totally available for Mananam or Nididhyasanam. You cannot have a contemplative, meditative disposition of the mind if the mind is still distracted by those objects. If you still have passion, if you are dispassionate towards means they cannot distract you, disturb you. If you are not disturbed means attention will be available totally for this jnana. The simple thing. And that dispassion is possible only if you have vairagyam, viveka. Vairagyam is possible only if you have viveka. Therefore, Acharya says here, so why it was emphasized that one must be akratuhu akamaha, why one must be a person of dispassion towards other things to be eligible, to be qualified to discover the Atma? It is said here, the reason is given here. Asino duram vrajati, shayano yati sarvatah. Kastam madam devam. Madanyo jnatum arhati. Asino duram vrajati. Shayano yati sarvatah. Kastam madamadan devam. Madanyo jnatum arhati. Okay. So, we have seen this anyway. See, aste is atpane padam. The shanachantam padam is what? Asinaha. Asinaha means sun, isn't it? Asinaha, the person who is seated, the person who is sitting. Shana chanta shabdaha. Asinaha. But here, asinaha, it implies atma here. Asinaha means the atma which is always, everywhere, in everything. Therefore, what? Which is unmoving, Atma is of, Atma is unmoving. Atma, which is of the nature of motionlessness. That is why Atma is ever sitting, means what? Atma does not move an inch from where it is. Because it is all pervasive. So, sarva gatatvat achalaha, immovable, unmoving, sthanuhu. Asinaha is Atma. Even though it is all, being all pervasive, it does not move. It is there, everywhere, always, till duram vrajati. It goes very far. How Atma goes very far? Duram vrajati. We'll see that. Duram vrajati means what? We say, duram vrajati iva. Atma does not go very far. Even though all pervasive Atma, which is unmoving, is of the nature of motionlessness, actionlessness, it goes far as it were, as if. Duram vrajati. It goes far as though. We have to say as though. Shayanaha. Shayanaha. Again, shete. Yatmane padam. Therefore, shana chanta shabda here. Shayanaha. Lying. Lying down. Lying means what? That is why Bhagavan is called Shayi. One of the names of Bhagavan is called Shayi. Vatapatra Shayi. Ranga Shayi. Na Shayi. I'm not talking about any other Shayi, okay? I'm talking about Bhagavan Shayi. Shayi. The problem is people will immediately think of some other Shayi. I'm talking about Bhagavan Shayi. Vatapatra Shayi. Ranga Shayi. Sesha Shayi. Isn't it? Shete Eti Shayi. The whole Jagat is Ranga. A stage. And Bhagavan is all, Bhagavan is there pervading everything. Though he's said to be reclining on the snake, means what? He's said to be lying on the stage of the Jagat. Means what? In and through. The all pervasiveness of Bhagavan, okay, is symbolized as what? Rangashayi, Sheshashayi, Shayi. It's a nakarant pullinga shabdaha, shayin shabdaha. Anyway, so this is shayanaha. Shayanaha means, again, the shayanaha, asinaha are two words used here. Just to say, the Bhagavan who is essentially of the nature of all pervasiveness. The reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore cannot move at all. Is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Still, as though moving, as though going far. And Shayanaha, lying, being all pervasive, lying everywhere. Sarvataha Yati. Sarvataha Yati means what? You know, it goes on all sides, goes everywhere, as it were. Goes everywhere as though. So Bhagavan cannot go anywhere because there's no place where the reality, where there's no place where reality is not. Therefore, reality cannot go anywhere. Atma cannot go anywhere. Atma cannot move. Because there's no place where Atma is not. He uses these possible, two possible words to say, Asinaha, Shayanaha, Duram Vrajati, Sarvataha Yati. Now, how? We're going to see understand the Bhashyam here. Very beautiful Bhashyam comes. Sarvataha Yati, as though he goes everywhere. Madanyaha. Mad anyaha, mat anyaha, madanyaha, other than me. Kaha tam madamadam devam jnatum arhati. Tam devam jnatum kaha arhati. Who else can know? Who else deserves the knowledge? That's the meaning. ஹூ எல்ஸ் கேன் நோ கஹா ஞாத்தும் அருகதி. ஹூ இஸ் ஏபிள் டு நோ, ஹூ கேன் நோ தம் தேவம். தம் தேவ் மீன்ஸ் ஹியர் தட் ரியாலிட்டி விச் இஸ் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் செல்ஃப் எஃபல்ஜென்ஸ். தி வேர்ட் தேவஹா மீன்ஸ் எஃபல்ஜென்ட். தம் தேவம், who else can know that Lord who is of the nature of self effulgence, means who is of the nature of knowledge. Effulgence implies jnanam. Jnana swarupatvat devayityuchyate divyati iti devah. So tam devam kaha jnatum arhati, who else is able to, who else can know, who is able to know that Lord who is of the nature of self effulgence, who is of the nature of knowing. And the devaha, we have other adjective also, mada madaha devaha, mada madam devam. See, madaha means the joy, amadaha means joyless. So here, madamadam devam, the Lord who is of the nature of happiness is also as there what? As the joyful and the joyless one. Madamadam devam jnatum kaha arhati. What does it mean? This verse is very, very profound word, mantra, this mantra. Let us see here. This is the literal meaning. See, madanyaha kaha jnatum arhati. This is very important to know. Madanya, let me explain only this today. Okay. Madanyaha kaha jnatum arhati. Who else is able to know? Who else can know other than I, other than me? Madanyaha. It means I, the self, am alone. I myself am alone able to know. I alone can know. I alone can know means I myself am the only knower. I am the only knower. Understand? When you say I am the only knower, there are not many knowers. So I am the knower. I alone can know. Why? I am the only knower. Nothing in the world can know the reality. Why? Everything else other than me is only an object of knowledge. The known can never become the knower. The known, everything, anything, everything other than the knower is object of knowledge. And here, I want to remind you the definition of the object. What is an object? Karma ittukte kim? What is an object? Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun, any word other than the first person singular pronoun, I, is an object. Isn't it? So, aham shabda, okay, vachasya, vachyat, anit sarvam. Anything and everything denoted by, indicated by any pronoun, any word other than the first person singular pronoun, I, is an object of knowledge. So object of knowledge is dependent on the knower to become the known. So the object of knowledge can never become the subject of knowledge. So who is subject and who can subject? See, the knower is that which is denoted by the only pronoun, the first person singular pronoun I. The first person singular pronoun I alone refers to the subject of knowledge. The only pronoun, the only word, the first person singular pronoun I alone refers to the subject of knowledge, the knower. Okay. Therefore, I, the knower, alone am able to know the reality. I, the knower, alone can know the reality. And not as an object, as my own self. See, knower alone can know. Who can know? Knower alone can know. The known cannot know. Known cannot know. Knower alone can know. And how many knowers are there? There's only one knower. Who is the knower? The knower is that which is referred to by the first person singular pronoun I. I refers only to the knower, not to any of the objects. So here it becomes very clear what? Body is object of knowledge. So I does not refer to the body. So sense organs come under the category of the objects. I does not refer to any of the sense organs. I does not refer to any of the organs of actions. I does not refer to the antakaranam. I does not refer to any of the physiological functions. I does not refer to ahankara also. Even the knowledge of self-existence, I does not refer to the knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the of thought in terms of I am. I does not refer to the ignorance of the self-existence experienced in the deep sleep state. I does not refer to knowledge of the existence of the self and the world. I does not refer to the knowledge of the ignorance of the self and the world. I does not refer to even ignorance and knowledge. Why? Ignorance is also object of knowledge. Ignorance of the existence of the self is object of knowledge experienced in deep sleep state. And the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am is also object of knowledge. So that I does not refer to even ahankara. Okay, buddhi, manaha, chittam, we know all those things. So I refers only to the knower. So knower of knowledge and ignorance. Knower of the knowledge of the existence of the self is there in the waking state. The same knower of the existence of, knower of the ignorance of the self, existence of the self. Where is the ignorance? When do you experience ignorance? Ignorance of the existence of the self is an object of knowledge in deep sleep state. Isn't it? So ignorance is also known. The object of experience obtaining in deep sleep state is what? Ignorance of the existence of the self. So ignorance also is known. Knowledge also is known. The knower of knowledge and ignorance is distinct from the known knowledge and ignorance. That knower, what is the form of that knower? What is the, isn't it, form of the knower? And you can't deny that knower, you can't say inexplicably subtlest, formless. You are seeing already formless. And you are that knower. That formless, abstract, inexplicably subtlest, something which is there, knowing the ignorance. And when there's total ignorance, knowing the bliss also, sukham also. Isn't it? That knower of total ignorance, knower of partial knowledge in the waking state, that knower is only a qualification, title, attributed to that abstract, formless reality. Isn't it? So knower is, why? Because it is of the nature of knowing. Why is it said to be knower? Because it knows. Why does it know? Knowing is not an action, it is swarupam. If it is an action, Then it needs what? It requires all the instruments of knowledge. If it is a function. isn't it? It is not a will-involved action, nor is it. It's a very swarupam. Knowing is this swarupam. Just as illumining is swarupam of the Surya Bhagavan, being hot is the swarupam of the fire. It's not an action. So knowing is a swarupam of that abstract, formless, inexplicably suppressed reality. There is no knower at all other than that abstract reality. There is no knower other than the abstract reality. Knower refers to that formless reality. And because that's when no word can be used to denote that reality. No shabda can be used. Anamakaha Bhagavan. Anamika Devi. Isn't it? No word can be used. What word can you use? What is that formless reality? It knows. Knowing is swarupam. Jnana swarupatvat janati iti jnanam. That is why being conscious is the swarupam. The word is consciousness. That's why swarupam, very important. Therefore, who is the knower? There's no knower other than the reality. Isn't it? Therefore, the first person singular pronoun, I refers only to the knower, the subject of knowledge. There's no knower other than the formless reality. That formless reality is implied by the term consciousness because of its nature of being conscious. Implied by the term knowledge because of its nature of knowing. Okay. Therefore, I am the only knower. Okay. And I, the knower, am knowledge. I, the knower, am pure consciousness. Which knowledge? The pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is there, which has the status of being the knower of knowledge and ignorance. So what is the distance between knower consciousness and the known, knower knowledge and the known knowledge? What is the distance? What is the distance between knower consciousness and known ignorance? What is the distance? There is no distance. There is neither physical distance nor time distance, isn't it? Because the pure knowledge is not the knowledge or ignorance, but the known knowledge is pure knowledge. Known ignorance also is pure knowledge. There's absolutely what is there is only pure knowledge. The known knowledge is mithya. Known ignorance also is mithya. Because known does not have independent existence outside of the knower consciousness, knower reality. Understand? That pure consciousness, that's why we add the word shuddham. Shuddham jnanam, shuddham chaitanyam, to distinguish it from the vritti jnanam. Swarupa jnanam, vritti jnanam. The known knowledge is what? Vritti jnanam. The knower knowledge is what? Swarupa jnanam. Shuddham jnanam, shuddham chaitanyam. There's no impure consciousness, but to distinguish it from the vritti, the knowledge which comes and goes, the ignorance which comes and goes, vritti, isn't it? Whereas this is pure, swarupam. Therefore, how many knowers are there now, tell me? That is why Puja Swamiji used to say, that's why every individual has to use only first person singular pronoun, I, to refer to one's own self. Everybody was only one pronoun to refer to one's own self. That I obtaining in everyone, that I used by every individual to refer to oneself, denotes only the knower. There seems to be many knowers because of the many upadis. Really speaking, it's only one knower. The only knower of all the minds is what? This abstract consciousness only. So, how many kati jnata raha santi, isn't it? Only one jnata. Okay. Therefore, he says, madanyaha kaha jnatum arhati. I am the only knower of the objective material world. I am the only knower of myself. And then how do I know? That's why I can't say I know myself. No way. I can say I know myself, you don't say, because I am the very knowledge. I don't say I know the Atma. If I say I know the Atma, then I make the Atma an object. No, Aham Atma. I am the only knower Atma. So I claim myself as what? The knower Atma, the only knower of the whole Jagat. So who else can know? Therefore, Tam Madamadam Devam Jnatum Arhati. Okay, now let us see. I'm going to see other words now. Who else other than me can know that self-effulgent Lord who is joyful and joyless? Let us see here now. Asinaha. Now first he explains meaning of the word first. Asinaha. Asinaha ityukte sitting. Who is sitting? Who is sitting means what? Who is there always unmoving, all pervasively, motionlessly, changelessly. This much I wish to explain. Okay. Asinaha. Means Shankaracharya writes himself, avasthitaha. Asinaha ityukte avasthitaha. See, sthitaha means again one who remains steadfast, firm. One who remains firm without any movement, motion. Avasthitaha, one who remains firm without any motion. Achalaha, achalaha, na chalati iti achalaha. One does not move. Achalaha, avasthitaha, asinaha, evasan. Without moving an inch, duram vrajati iva. Duram vrajati means we have to, iva is implied here. As though he goes very far. How? We'll see that. Shayanaha. Again, lying everywhere. Shayanaha, lying. The person who is lying cannot go anywhere. Being all pervasive. Here, sarvataha yati. As though he goes everywhere. Well, let me explain that. Evam asav atma, in this manner, asav atma, asav atma, this atma, what is atma here? All pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, referred to by the first person singular pronoun, the knower. The all pervasive reality consciousness is Atma here. Atma is Devaha. Atma is the Devaha. Devaha means one who is of the nature of self-effulgence. One who shines. One who shines means one who is not dependent on anything else in the world to come to light. Not depend existence also. Devaha, one who is of the nature of knowing, therefore one who is of the nature of self-effulgence, self-effulgent. Atma is self-effulgent because Atma is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, Atma is implied by another term, Devaha. And Mada Amadaha, Mada Amadaha. So Madaha means Samadaha. The one who is with joy. Amadaha, one who is without joy. What does it mean? Saharshaha aharshascha. Harshaha means joy. Madaha is equal to harshaha. Samadaha means saharshaha, the one who is with the joy. Aharshaha, the one who is without joy, the joyless. So, harshena sahitaha, harshena rahitaha. Okay? Sahitaha, rahitaha. Saharshaha, aharshaha. One who is with joy, without joy. Samadaha, amadaha. Saharshaha, aharshaha. Cha. Means, Viruddha dharmavan, one who is of opposite characters, opposite attributes. So being joyful is one attribute, being joyless is another attribute. One who is of opposite attributes. We understood Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. But now, how can we say Atma is of the, is one who is endowed with opposite or contradictory attributes? Let us see here. Viruddha dharmavan ataha, therefore, ashakyatvat jnatum ashakyatvat. Atma is of the contradicting attributes here. Let's explain to you now. Ataha, therefore, jnatum ashakyatvat. As Atma has the status of being unable to know. Okay, Atma, as it is difficult to know, it is not possible to know. Tahatam madha madam devam madanyaha jnatum arhati. Therefore, who else other than me can know that Atma? Okay. Ashakyatvat. See, for an simple person who was not given this discipline of listening, whose mind has not yet become really refined enough. See, repeated listening creates some sort of samskara. So gradually, Swamiji used to say when I was very, very young, keep on listening. Now we go and listen one class, immediately we have questions. We feel like asking so many questions. Now this takes time. Repeatedly when you listen, because what is being taught is something very subtle. And if Shravanam creates some sort of samskara, that mind has that, you know, that the capacity to understand comes on the part of the mind. Then the comprehensive, you know, the comprehension, it becomes capable of comprehending the teaching. That's why always we say Atmajnanam is not an event taking place in time and place. Now, Swamiji doesn't even like using the word enlightenment. Swamiji doesn't like it. See, here the vision of the Atma is always enhancing clarity. The more and more and more and more and more you listen, you can see how thinnest and thinnest layers of vagueness resolve, the clarity enhances. Isn't it? It's gradual. This is what all Mahatmas say, that so listening is very important. That's why jnatum ashakyatvat. As it's not possible to know easily for an unrefined minded or the person who does not expose to the teaching a lot. If at all somebody is capable of understanding, knowing, don't take that person for an ordinary person. That person must have done a lot of tapas in previous janmas. Now, this is another big question. Do you think if a person does not have a samskara, you know, of being exposed to Shastra teaching, how can you say he cannot learn, he cannot know? We know many Mahatmas who have, without studying any Shastra, they have understood. Means they must have already come into the world with a refined mind. They must have done a lot of tapas in the previous janmas. Only Mahatmas who do not recur any teaching, means those, they must have worked hard in the previous janmas. All the tapas means the disciplined life they lived and the efforts they made, you know, that must have contributed for their maturity. So they come already prepared minded. And then something, you know, some parabdha, vashat, and there's something that they discover. That are very, very rare Mahatmas. Generally, we all need to have this samskara. Some sort of samskara has to come being exposed to the Shastra study. Isn't it? So for such a person, for a simple person, it's very difficult to understand. Anyway, whatever it is, madamadam devam madanyahaka jnatum kaha arhati, who deserves, who can know that? Okay. Here, now Shankara Bhagavatpada explains the further. See, what does he mean by saying that the mantra, what does the mantra mean? What does Shankara Bhagavatpada explain here as saying Atma is of contradictory attributes? Atma is unmoving, but as though Atma goes everywhere. Atma is unmoving as though it goes. What does it mean? We have to see that. Before that, let me read this following sentence. Asmadadehe eva sukshma buddhehe. Shankara Bhagavatpada assumes that we are all very prepared minded. Bhagavatpada assumes that we are all already refined minded people. So he says, Asmadadehe, for people like us, and who are we? Sukshma buddhehe. Asmadadehe sukshma buddhehe panditasya. For a person who is a pandita and who is of subtle mind. Sukshma buddhihi means what? Refined minded. Sukshma, see, sukshma buddhihi yasya. Saha sukshma buddhihi. The person of subtle intellect. The person of subtle intellect, the person of subtle mind, the person of sharp intellect. Subtle intellect means sharp intellect also. Who is capable of grasping the subtle facts? Sukshma buddhihi is a samasa sabda. Okay? Sukshma buddhihi yaha yasya saha sukshma buddhihi, the person who is of sharp, subtle intellect. So for a person of sharp, subtle intellect like us, for him, panditasya. Okay, panditasya. Panditaha does not mean wise person here. The person who is highly highly instructed, who is highly informed. Panditaha, panditasya. Suvijnyayaha ayam atma. This atma can be understood easily. Atma is easily understandable. Suvijnyayaha, atma can be known easily. Atma is easily understandable for an informed person who is of refined, subtle, sharp intellect like us. Ati he wants encourages. Does not undermine our capacity, okay? Just at least now we make effort. We have to make efforts now to deserve that qualification. Ayam atma suvijnyayaha. This atma can be easily comprehended, comprehensible for a pandita, for an informed person who is of subtle, sharp, okay, intellect like us. Okay. What sthiti, gati, nitya, anityadi, viruddha, aneka dharma, upadikatvat, viruddha dharmatvat, vishvarupaha iva, chintamanivat avabhasate. Chintamanivat avabhasate. See, atma avabhasate, atma shines. The atma which is easily understandable only for an informed person who is of subtle and sharp intellect. that atma avabhasate shines like what? Chintamanivat. The chintamani is a precious gem. Don't go and search for the chintamani. It's not like our rubies and emeralds or royal blues. Not navaratnas. Chintamani is a some precious gem. No, this is a myth, mythological gem. And supposed to be very, very effulgent. Chintamanivat avabhasate. Vishwarupaha iva. As though atma, even though absolutely formless reality. Now I don't need to tell you how atma is formless. If you understand, I refers only to the knower, and that knower is knower of ignorance and knowledge. That knower you all know very well. That knower is definitely arupaha, arupaha atma. But still, vishwarupaha iva. This absolutely formless reality is now shining as though in the form of the universe. As though the one endowed with the form of the entire cosmos. Like, see the light, even the light, the grossest example I had to give. What is the form of the light? Specific form. Apart from it's available for, perception through seeing. A different thing. Apart, it's available for seeing. Isn't it? Through the sense organ called eyes. But apart from that, what is the specific form? No specific form, isn't it? Not like a table, chair, etc. But still, that light assumes the form of every opaque thing it illumines. You know that? See, light which illumines the opaque chair alone is in the form of the chair form. Light which illumines the table form alone is assumed the form of the table. Light alone is in the form of opaque table, opaque chair, opaque window, opaque door, opaque wall, opaque human form, opaque animal form, opaque tree form. Understand? The one light alone assumes the form of all these opaque forms. Why? Without light, opaque form has no existence. I told you already, reflecting opaque thing, reflecting medium, the opaque thing which serves the reflecting medium becomes the reflection of the very light. The form of the light. Understand? See, light has no form. But if you ask, what is this table? You have to say what? Opaque table is light. Reflection of light. Chair is reflection of light. Therefore, light alone is shining in the form of opaque table, opaque chair, opaque window, opaque door, everything opaque. In opaque form. Similarly, here, this reality, abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing alone, is shining in the form of everything known. The entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, is shining in the light of manifestation of knowledge, is also manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, it is this Atma alone, the formless Atma alone, is shining in the form of the universe. Vishwarupaha iva chintamanivat avabhasate. This Atma shines like the Chintamani. Like Vishwarupaha iva, as though the one endowed with the form of the universe. Of course, we can say Vishwarupaha means what? Sagunaha Atma. Vishwarahitaha. If you see the light cognitively deleting the opaque form, what is it? Arupaha. Like here also, the pure consciousness without the Jagat is what? Arupa Atma. And the Jagat has no independent existence at all outside of this consciousness. Therefore, what we say? Jagat Atma is in the form of the universe. Vishwarupaha iva avabhasate. How? How does formless Atma shines as in the form of the universe. The formless abstract Atma, how does it shine in the form of the universe? He gives the reason. Sthiti Gati Nitya. Sthiti Gati. Sthiti means what? Remaining unmoving. All pervasively, motionlessly remaining is what? Sthitihi. Motionless, isn't it? Motionless status. Gatihi, movement. Sthitihi, gatihi, contradictory, the opposite attributes. Sthitihi and gatihi. Atma swarupam is sthitihi. Remaining without motion is what? Atma swarupam. Sthitihi is the swarupam. But still, no, Atma is as though Atma has the movement, gatihi. Called viruddha dharma. See it? Contradictory attributes. Sthiti gati. Then, nitya anitya. Atma is ever of the nature of eternity. Atma is ever of the nature of timelessness. Isn't it? But still, anitya. Nitya anityadi viruddha dharma viruddha aneka dharma upadikatvat. Okay, aneka dharma upadikatvat viruddha dharmatvat aviruddha dharmatvat vishwarupahiva. Okay, so here, see, Atma is endowed with the upadhi. Atma has the upadhi. Isn't it? Atma has upadhi means what? That is the objective universe which has the status of being the upadhi of the Atma. Reflecting medium, manifesting medium of the Atma. Upadhi katvata. And upadhis, all the upadhis, all the objects which constitute the jagat have the status of being upadhi of the Atma, and those upadhis have what now? These opposite attributes. Because of this, okay, because of this, upadhi katvat viruddha dharmatvat. Viruddha dharmatvat. Vishwarupaha. Iva chintamanivata avabhasate. So all these attributes of what? Okay. Changelessness, motionlessness and movement. Sthitihi gatihi. And nitya anitya. Nitya anitya means what? The timelessness and time-bound nature. Okay. Then, all these are only because of because of having the upadhis, upadhi katvat. So, upadhi is upadhi. Upadhi katva means what? Having the upadhi. Upadhi katvat, due to its having the upadhis. Upadhis. And because of upadhis, what happens? Nitya anityadi viruddha aneka dharma upadikatvat viruddha dharmatvat. Now all these upadhi dharmas which are superimposed. But the dharmatvat means what? Because of the superimposition of the attributes of the upadhis upon the upahita chaitanyam. See, is it clear now? Suppose it is like saying, if the attribute of the wave is superimposed upon the water. Wave comes and wave goes. Water does not come and go. What comes and goes is wave only. Isn't it? But the very wave form exists in water. Therefore, the wave cannot come without the water. But water doesn't come. Wave comes and wave goes. But you take what? the coming and going, the attributes of the wave are superimposed upon the water. I'm just giving, don't stretch the example too much, okay? I'm giving the example like that. Now, always upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the very upahitam. With reference to ornament, gold is the upahitam. The chain, name, form, and function called nama rupa karmakyam abharanam is what? Upadhi. Understand now? So here upadhi. I'll explain upadhi in the very introduction class. I don't need to do it, but I'll explain again. But anyway, take it. The time being, you take it this much. Okay. Upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the upahitam chaitanyam. So that which obtains as the truth is upahitam. That which is dependent on the upahitam is what? Upadhi. Isn't it? So upadhi dharmas, when the chain is broken and the breaking is what now? Upadhi dharma. Chain will break. Bangle will break. When the pot breaks, when the pot breaks, the breaking is the dharma attribute of the pot. The superimposed upon the clay. Clay does not get broken. Isn't it? Breaking is something happens and a part of the pot because of the clay. Without clay, there cannot be something called breaking also. The pot itself cannot exist. Like this, all the upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the upahitam chaitanyam. Now, physical body is an upadhi. Mind is an upadhi. Sense organs are upadhis. Organs of actions are upadhis. Physiological functions are upadhis. And upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the upahitam chaitanyam. Upahitam consciousness. Like body goes, we take what? I go. Body, eyes see, I see. Hear, you know, the power of hearing listens, hears, I hear. Because the identity, the hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, etc., are all functions, attributes of the sense organs are superimposed upon the Atma. The physical body is born, body dies, and body is fat, body is tall, body goes, body sits, body. Again, all these are superimposed upon the Atma. The physical attributes, attributes of sense organs, attributes of the antahkaranam also. Feeling low, feeling high, feeling pleased, feeling unhappy. All these antahkarana dharmas also are superimposed upon the Atma. Like that, jagataha, we say, all attributes of anatma are superimposed upon the Atma. Why? Because anatma is mistaken to be the Atma. Anatma is mistaken to be the Atma. Because of the erroneous perception of anatma as the Atma, the material forms names as the Atma, their attributes are superimposed upon the Atma. And why there is erroneous perception? Because of the ajnanam. Because of the ignorance of the Atma, ajnanat adhyasaha. Erroneous perception of the anatma as the Atma. And because of adhyasa, adhyaropaha, the superimposition of the attributes, limitations of anatma, the upadhis upon the Atma. Because superimposition, isn't it? Therefore, what happens? That is why sthiti, gati, nitya, anityadi, viruddha aneka dharma upadikatvat, as Atma is inseparably, non-distensibly, you know, having the closest proximity with the anatma upadis, material upadis, having their attributes superimposed upon the Atma, dharmatvat. Even though Atma is essentially of the nature of formlessness, Atma is as though in the form of the universe. Vishwarupaiva அவபாசத்தே. இது எக்ஸாம்பிள் ஆஃப் சிந்தாமணிவத். ஓகே, சோ அவபாசத்தை ஷைனிங், இட்ஸ் ஒன்லி மித் மித் இஸ்ன்ட் இட், நாட் ரியல் ரியல் ஜெம். பட் ரியலி ஸ்பீக்கிங், டஸ் ஆத்மா ஹேவ் திஸ் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் தி யூனிவர்ஸ்? நோ, அப்சல்யூட்லி ஃபார்ம்லெஸ். அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் திஸ் என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ்? தி என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ் இஸ் சூப்பர் இம்போஸ்ட் அப்பான் தி ஆத்மா. இட் இஸ் லைக் சேயிங் clay has no form of its own. Clay is clay form, isn't it? But we say clay is in the form of the pot. We say pot is clay because clay is in the form of the pot. Why? Because the form, name and function called pot, namurpa karmakyam ghataha, karmakyah ghataha, is inseparable from the clay. What is the distance between clay and the form, name and form, name and function called pot? What is the distance? No distance. How close? It is called closest to proximity, isn't it? But still, even though it's inseparably one, and the clay is definitely not the pot. Clay is not the form, not the name, not the function. Clay is distinct, though not distant from the form, name and function called pot. This is a very gross example. Another example. Light is not at all any form, chair or table. That is distinct from the listing of every opaque form which shines in the presence of the light. That is distinct. But still light is not distant. What is the distance between the illuminator light and the illumined opaque thing? What's the distance? No distance. Similarly here, this knower consciousness is inseparable, okay, non-separate, non-distant, non-distinguishable from the known world of material forms, names and functions. Similarly, leave alone the world, also one's own body, mansions, complex. These are the upadhis. Therefore, the upadhi dharmas, because of the ignorance, we do not know what exactly is implied the term Atma. We do not know the content of the I, even though we use the term I to refer to one's own self. Even though we know the existence of our own self in the waking state. At least in the waking state, we have knowledge of the existence of ourselves. But we do not know what I am, what I exactly is. We do not know. Because of this Atma Jnanam, Ardha Jnanam, because of the Ardha Jnanam, mistaking the Anatma for the Atma and superimposing the limitations and the attributes of Anatma upon the Atma, we mistake the Atma to be endowed with contradictory attributes. Is it clear? If it's not clear, don't worry, we'll get clear next class. This is something I need to explain again. Let us see what's the time. Okay, I have to stop now. It has gone ahead. We'll stop, okay? It's too late. We'll continue next class. It's a very, very subtle thing. This particular sentence, I need to explain. அஸ்மதாதேஹ ஏவ சூக்ஷ்மபுத்தேஹ பண்டிதஸ்ய சுவிஜ்ஞேயஹ அயமாத்மா அயமாத்மா கீத்ருஷ ஆத்மா உபாசதே. ஏர் பண்டிதஸ்ய சுபுத்தேஹ ஏவ சுவிஜ்ஞேயஹ ஆத்மா. ஆத்மா இஸ் சம்திங் விச் இஸ் ஈஸிலி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டபிள் ஒன்லி ஃபார் ரிஃபைன் மைண்டட் பர்சன். தட் ஆத்மா ஷைன்ஸ். How does it shine? I explain again the sentence next class. It's all right? Okay. We have much to understand, so much to understand. Next following class, it will become much, much clearer. Don't worry. There must be some certain vagueness, certain areas. Don't worry. We'll take care of it next class. Om. பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம்.